This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And, well, Matt, let's talk a little fantasy football today.
All right. I was kind of leaning that way.
Yeah. So football outsiders.
I think fantasy season's officially started.
It's pretty much. Yeah, we know what the rosters are largely going to be now. There's not going to be any big surprises in terms of skill position players. There may be a trade. Maybe Austin Ekeler gets moved or something like that. But by and large, we know who the players are at this point. So Football Outsiders did a little thing here. Most undervalued and most overvalued fantasy football draft players here. Okay. Let's start with the overvalued players first.
I assume this is going to be based off best ball, because best ball right now is on fire. You know, the best ball mania and all this stuff going on. So we're getting ADPs, you know, which is good. That's why I said it. I really do think this is the beginning of fantasy season.
Absolutely. So this is written by Chris Spags.
Football Outsiders.
Yeah. So his most overvalued stud running back, Saquon Barkley.
He worries me too.
His ADP is 14.3 on Underdog Fantasy's 27th rated running back in the or player in the quote unquote Spags ranking. I guess he has his own rankings with this.
Okay.
He had a heavy workload last year.
Heavy workload. Injury history, but all backs do. I mean, I don't hold that against backs too much. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. It's a small thing, but they drafted Gray in the fifth round. I think you just want to take 3 touches off his plate per game. They invested so heavily in wide receivers. I think they throw the ball a little bit more. And he's starting to get to that age where he could drop off a little. You know, like, I don't think end of the second round, I'm in on Saquon. Maybe in the middle of the second round, but not at the turn.
Yeah, that's where it's going to be tough. And he honestly could have gone with a number of different backs on this list. Derrick Henry.
Henry scares the heck out of me.
Josh Jacobs scares me after the workload he had last year. And I don't think they're going to be a very good football team. Right. And then Joe Mixon. I mean, we're talking about 3 guys. Well, 2 of them, Henry and Mixon, were basically first round, you know, early second round players that I don't know if I want to touch this year.
I thought Mixon looked bad last year.
Yeah.
And his numbers weren't great. The other 2 I'd throw in there, I still am not convinced Dalvin Cook's even going to be a Viking. And I thought his tape fell off last year. And I don't know what to do about Kamara. I mean, there's still a really good chance he gets suspended, and he's that age too. I mean, that's the Connor draft class, you know, Henry.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that's scary neighborhood now.
Yeah. They're getting up in age. And for Cook, for example, you know, there's talk about him potentially being traded. Well, I mean, that's going to factor in. Like, if he lands in a good situation, that makes all the difference in the world. But
sure.
You know, if for example, the Saints trade for him, well, now it kills both his value and that Kamara just kills them both. Most overvalued up and coming running back, Khalil Herbert, 97.4 ADP. He has him as his 107th ranked player.
Like, for all the dynasty stuff I do, Herbert's stock was going up. And then they signed Foreman. Okay, that's not that big a competition. He knew he wasn't going to have the backfield to himself. But then they took Roshon Johnson, too. And they're all kind of the same. It's not like, this will be your role. You'll be the goal line guy.
Right.
You know, it's one too many mouths on an offense that Fields is going to get 10 carries anyway and probably score 10 rushing touchdowns. So, no fault of his own, his situation got worse for fantasy lately.
Yeah, I mean, everybody got excited when David Montgomery left and was like, oh,
right.
Well, so much for that.
Yeah, you'd love for it just to be him and Montgomery right now.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, now at least they had clear-cut roles in Montgomery, expecting him to stay healthy. Most overvalued quarterback, and boy, he's got 3 of them on here. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts.
They're 1, 2, and 3.
Their ADP, 18.7, 18.9, and 20.6.
Yeah, I think they're the top three. I know Allen's the one.
Right.
At least in best ball.
And any, you know, longtime listeners to our show. Now, we did talk about this last year as we in the build up or lead up to fantasy football drafts. Like, I would love to have any of those guys on my team.
Of course.
But probably not where I got to draft them.
They were like 18, 19, 20 in that neighborhood. I mean, yeah. They're like mid-second rounders right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's steep. So I've taken a step back in my fantasy life and thought, Matt, you don't always have to be the 11th or 12th guy in your league drafting a quarterback. You know, that doesn't have to be the rule, you know. And like last year, I took Trey Lance, and I'm like, all right, I'll be fine. Well, I do think this past year that those three quarterbacks that you mentioned, not coincidentally, won a lot of fantasy championships.
They did.
The
thing is, though, like Jalen, you didn't take Jalen Hurts at 20.
That's what
you took Jalen Hurts at 80.
Right. And so I might be more up for taking Fields in the fifth round and Aaron Rodgers or around above his ADP or Tua or
Lamar.
You know, like I don't think I'll be the last one drafting a quarterback anymore, but I won't be the first. But I do want to be tier two with upside and maybe get two of them and hope I get a Hurts.
Yeah. I mean, you always hate to play the team that has Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And because there's always that potential for them to go off for 50 points.
Yep. And when you really hate to play those guys is in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like what matters most, it's like, all right, I've got here. I have a lot of points. I have one of the best teams in the league. I'm trotting out Kirk Cousins this week again.
And I get outscored by 30 at quarterback.
At quarterback. And maybe I win in the margin still, but man, that's tough, you know.
Yeah. Most overvalued wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins.
That's a big question there.
I don't want anything to do with DeAndre Hopkins.
No, I don't think I want any Cardinal period.
Yeah, the value would have to be really, really prime.
Like, is Marquise Brown worth more than Hopkins? To you? I mean, I don't even care about ADP. For what they cost.
I mean, here's the thing with Hopkins. There's always the chance that he gets moved.
I bet that's some of the allure, especially with these underdog things, thinking, hey, I got 3 months to hopefully he ends up in Buffalo or something.
Right.
And I'm buying him on the cheap, you know.
But he could also get traded to New England, in which case, it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah. I mean, he might also be.
He might be done.
But he might be on the knocking on the door.
He's on the back nine for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He might be on hole 16.
Most overvalued tight end, Darren Waller. I could not agree more.
Okay. Because I've been. Again, it's fantasy season, so I've been starting to listen to more fantasy podcasts. I might actually try Underdog this year and you know, do some things. And this has kind of blown me away, is how it looks like the consensus tight end tiers are Kelce in his own tier. Cool. I'm not going to fight you on that. You know, I mean.
Right. He is what Andrews, he is.
Andrews is in his own tier, and then at number two. And then it's Waller fighting for the third spot with Kittle, Hawkinson. People were torn on Pitts. Goddard's not even quite there. So there's a lot of people that I really trust that have Waller's are tight end three right now.
And I'm see, like, I would have Hawkinson in tier two.
With Andrews?
With Andrews.
Over based, Kittle. Over
based, again, we just got done talking about second half of the season.
Right.
If you look at what he did once he went to Minnesota,
right?
Where he basically averages 7 catches a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's tight end two or three stuff.
I mean, he has a lot of things aligning for him in that a team that played against him twice a year gave up pretty good stuff to go get him, and then immediately implemented him as a heavy target dude. He was the 8th pick in the draft. And now he's hitting that magical age 26, 27 season. You know, like he has talent, he has draft capital, he has
opportunity.
Opportunity. You know, he has a track record with this team. Like, I would definitely take Hawk over Hall, over Waller.
And he's gone to a completely different situation where in Detroit, you could double the heck out of him and force the ball to go somewhere else. Nobody's doubling him in Minnesota.
No, and even Addison showing up doesn't hurt him.
No, he's going to get – I think he gets 130 targets this year, and he gets 130 targets. He's going to catch 90 passes.
I would say double-digit touchdowns. I mean, I don't think Addison's catching a lot of touchdowns.
Somebody's got to get make up for the Thielen loss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what you thought of Adam Thielen, Adam Thielen still caught touchdown passes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a believer, but I wouldn't have considered him with Andrews in tier two, but I definitely had him well ahead of Waller. You know.
Yeah, like, I think he's easily ahead of Waller.
Right.
And like, he's Waller, my tight end three all day long.
Yeah, I can see that.
Ahead of Pitts for sure.
Yeah. I still may end up with Pitts, but as like the fifth or sixth tight end off.
You can have him. I'm not going to do that again.
Like us that owned him just ruined their season.
Just crushed me. Crushed me last year.
Right.
Let's move over to their most undervalued players.
Okay.
And again, this is written by Chris Spags on Football Outsiders. Most undervalued stud running back, Josh Jacobs. His ADP right now is 29.4.
Ooh, I thought he'd be going much earlier than that.
I did too. Okay. I don't have a problem. I'll take him in round three.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end of round two, yeah. I thought he'd be like the 10th pick overall.
Yeah, based on what he did. I mean, he got led the league in rushing last year.
Yeah, and the beauty of him is now he's catching the ball. Like, I always liked the player. Gruden never threw him the ball. I mean, going into this year, he had one catch his whole career on third downs. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy
talk. He's never on the field.
He's never on the field. I mean, he's a good receiver at Bama. That's why he's a first-round pick.
Most undervalued up-and-coming running back. Well, if he says so, Tyler Allgeier.
Oh, no.
ADP of 88.8.
So on Peacock and Williamson, we broke down the NFC South drafts today. And we were talking about the running back situation. Do you take Bijan that high? Blah, 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 blah. And I have heard a lot of people talk about Allgeier and Bijan could be on the field together. You know, Bijan will be the slot. Allgeier will be in the backfield. They'll run the ball a lot. Maybe Allgeier ends up, or you know, Bijan ends up games with 12 carries and 6 targets. Maybe.
Well, I would go back to what we talked about last year with that Falcons team, Matt, where if I'm the owner, Arthur Blank, and we've used top 10 picks,
right.
Not just first round picks, but top 10 picks
right.
on a tight right. end, a wide receiver, and a running back, and then I don't give them any of them the football on a consistent basis.
Patterson and
I'm wondering, what in the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
Why are we using these top 10 picks on these guys if we're only going to give them the ball 15 times a game for in Robinson's case? And in the case of you know, the tight end and wide receiver, we're not throwing them the football.
No, right.
What are we doing here?
So the Falcons are interesting in that I've seen a lot of stuff about them and also Arthur Smith. And I'm not fighting you on this because that's exactly what happened is how you laid it out. But if you look at Arthur Smith's coordinating career, he coached Matt Ryan 2 years ago and then Titans with Henry and Tannehill. Well, the time that if you look at just his quarterbacks, including last year once Ritter took over, the number of pass attempts per game was unbelievably low when Mariota was the quarterback. And really, if you look at just even end of Falcons career, Matt Ryan and Ritter last year, he threw the ball a lot more with those guys. It's almost just a huge red flag that Mariota was like the worst quarterback in the league. So, again, I don't want Tyler Allgeier. Back to the original conversation.
I think Tyler Allgeier is going to be like a 10-touch-per-game guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like when I was talking about the two running backs being on the field together, everyone says that in May and June, and it never happens.
Right.
Tony Pollard is going to play the slot, and Zeke's going to be in the backfield. Yeah, that happened like twice a game.
Yeah. You throw it out there, so teams have to, oh, well, we better better at least look at how we want to defend that, and then you don't have to do it.
It could happen, but it does.
I mean, Algier, if Robinson is out of the equation for some reason, okay, and maybe he's a high end handcuff just because of the way that they run the football and how much they want to run it, but I don't know about undervalued.
I mean, I'd probably rather have Jaylen Warren.
Yeah, I could certainly make that argument.
A clear handoff. There's also Cordarrelle Patterson, and you know,
right. Most undervalued quarterback, Anthony Richardson. His ADP right now is 150.4.
Okay. I wonder what quarterback that is. You know, that quarterback 20 is, I mean, it's never lower.
Yeah, he doesn't have it listed in here.
No, they don't do it that.
But 150.4, you're talking 12th round?
Yeah.
In a 12-team draft? Okay.
If I'm an underdog draft now, a best ball now, and I can get him there, I'll definitely do that. Especially in a situation like that, because everyone drafts like three quarterbacks, and whoever has the best score that week, you know, it's best ball, like, you know, golf. So even if he doesn't start week two, doesn't kill you.
You'll have somebody else in your roster who's going to get you points, and then if he happens to come in and start playing and blows up, and by blows up, I mean rushes for 100 yards and a touchdown every game.
Throws another one. Right.
Yeah. Then you got something.
But when you and I, all of our listeners, do their normal, but you know, with your buddies' drafts, you're gonna have a lot more interest.
You'll have way more info on what
right.
Richardson is, what he's going to be. Is he the leader in the clubhouse to start? Is he gonna?
Right.
I think he probably ends up sitting for a while there before he plays, but they'll have a package for him of some type.
Mm-hmm. Like in Dynasty, he's going way ahead of Bryce Young and Stroud because he's going to play some year.
Yeah. I think that's a mistake, though. I'd rather have the guy who I know.
I wouldn't for Dynasty quarterbacks because all I care about is home runs. I don't want singles and doubles.
Yeah, but is Anthony Richardson? I mean, there's a much better chance that 3 years from now, Anthony Richardson is Jamarcus Russell.
Oh yeah, but it's easy to find his replacement if you miss.
I guess. Yeah, I guess when you look at it that way. But I feel much better about Stroud and Young getting an opportunity to every opportunity to show that they're NFL caliber quarterbacks.
I also think they have a better chance to be a starter for 3-4 years from now. But just in terms of dynasty quarterbacks, you just swing for the fences because if you miss, you'll draft one next year. You'll draft the USC kid next year. And, it's not that expensive.
Most undervalued wide receiver.
Deontay.
George Pickens. 66.7 ADP.
I think him and Deontay are going very close to each other.
Oh, they're going very close. Yeah. And I don't think first of all, I mean, we talked about this last week. Deontay's going to finish with more catches.
Well, he's going to catch touchdowns.
He's going to catch some touchdowns. Right. Pickens is going to finish with more yards.
Probably, yeah.
And probably more touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But their overall point totals, I think, this year are going to be very close to each other.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like Mike Williams versus Keenan Allen, Godwin versus Evans. Which one do you prefer? I can make a kick for you.
And there are going to be some weeks where, teams are going to pick their poison. They're going to double Pickens and leave Deontay one-on-one, or they're going to double Deontay and leave Pickens one-on-one.
Yeah, or one's better versus man, one's better versus zone. One's nursing a knee
Right. Court. But I think both are going to wind up very undervalued in fantasy football.
I do, too. Deontay, to me, just
the Steelers. The Steelers are going to have more than 10 touchdown passes this year.
No, they'll double that.
Yeah. So
more than
I think if I look at,
and I don't think Robinson changes my perspective on those two from a fantasy perspective.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Right.
And if you can get Pickens at 66.7, what is that? That's right around round five. Basically, you're going to get him as your wide receiver two or three?
That seems about right for today, though. I mean, there's so many receivers in the league.
If I get him as my wide receiver three, I'm feeling pretty good about
that. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I mean, he's never going to leave the field.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be out there constantly. And he's going to get 100 targets, 100-plus targets this year.
Yes. Would you take both? I know I already know this answer. I shouldn't even mention it. You'll take both Steelers over any Raven in fantasy.
Yes.
Because again, those three are all going right next to each other too, but that's three heads instead of two. I mean, I think that's an easy. Would you take either Steeler over Amari Cooper? I'm not a Cooper believer, but he's clearly
Cooper's home road splits are troubling.
Dismal, yeah.
I mean, when Amari Cooper on the road is a jag.
Yeah, yeah.
Amari Cooper at home is a stud. Mm-hmm. This is not just last year. This is over the course of his career.
Oh,
like big time. It's amazing that the home road splits. So, you know, when you balance it all out, would I take him? Arguably, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't love the Browns passing game, but Cooper's.
He's going to lead the team.
He's the number one. He's the clear number one. He's going to get the most targets in that offense.
I'm trying to think like receivers off the top of my head that are right there with Deontay and Pickens. You know, like Mike Williams. What neighborhood are we talking here? Jerry Jeudy?
I think Sutton Jeudy is a conversation. Like,
I'm not big on Sutton. That's why I threw Jeudy out, not Sutton. Yeah. I'd take both Steelers over Sutton.
But I mean, Deontay's going to get 130 plus targets again this year.
Right.
I mean, that's just what he demands, those kind of targets. Like,
always open.
And he's not going to have zero touchdowns again. Right. Not going to happen. So if he gets back, you know, 2 years ago, he had 8 2 years ago. Let's say he goes out and gets half of that. Let's say he has 4 touchdowns this year.
Then we would all take the over on that.
So if he has over 85 catches, which he should do,
mm-hmm.
and 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns, he's a wide receiver 2 all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
Borderline wide receiver 1, depending on the touchdowns.
And I don't care as much about week-to-week consistency, but he's very consistent week-to-week because he gets double-digit targets every week.
Right.
He's not DeSean Jackson, you know?
Yeah, no. In turn, if we're in a PPR league, I'll take Deontay Johnson all day long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That's why I thought he'd be the most underrated guy in the whole group.
Most undervalued tight end. Hawk. Dallas Goedert.
Okay.
His ADP is 68.7.
All his underlying metrics are phenomenal. You know, yards per route run, efficiency numbers. My beef with him against even like a Freiermuth is he's definitely third on that team.
There's a lot of mouths to feed. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely third. He's a clear third, but he's definitely third. I mean, Devontae Smith's a star. And people don't look at him that way. And Brown's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to. Those guys demand their targets. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, yeah. Which is fine. I mean, he makes the most of them. And it's a good offense. It's gets a lot of first downs and scores a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. That's it for his undervalued guys. Anybody you would include? I mean, we're not looking at the list here. In terms of, I almost guarantee you that Lamar is going to be undervalued this year.
I was thinking that too. You know, like 6,000 yards is
not going to do that.
That's bonkers.
But if Lamar throws for 4,000,
right. And even 80% of his normal rushing total, it's pretty darn good.
I mean, even if you look at his stats from last year, and I'm pulling them up here, if he throws for – where was he at last year? So his best season thus far, he's thrown for 3,100 yards.
Okay. And I bet he eclipses that.
That was his second year when he won the MVP. He had 3,100 yards passing – 36 touchdowns. And remember, too, that was playing 15 games. So if he plays plays all 17, maybe 4,000 is a bit much, but 3,500?
I don't think that's crazy. I think they're going to throw the ball more and more efficiently, and his receivers will get more after the catch for him than he has, things like that.
The question with Lamar is, does he run as much?
I don't think he will. But I think he'll still be 80% of what he usually does, which is
so. In 2019, that was 1,200 rushing yards. In 2020, in 15 games, that was 1,000 rushing yards. Now, in 2021 and 2022, he played 12 games in each of those seasons. It was 767 and 764, almost identical.
Wow. All right, let's play a little game. They used to do this on when Matthew Berry did the ESPN fantasy show. They could do the name game. Lamar or Burrow?
Burrow.
Strictly fantasy, of course.
Strictly fantasy.
Okay. Lamar or Fields?
I'll take Lamar.
I think I agree on both of those. I trust Burrow to play more games, too.
That's the thing I'm factoring in. Like, he's going to play games, and he's going to throw touchdown passes.
Yes.
Like, they're going to throw the football. I don't think they're going to run the ball all that effectively this year.
Lamar or Lawrence?
Lamar.
Lamar or Tua?
Lamar.
Yeah. So I don't think either one of those is even close.
Yeah.
Lamar or Herbert? That one I could fight either way on.
I'd probably take Lamar. I mean, assuming he's back running the ball, if he runs for 800 yards this year,
mm-hmm.
Herbert's going to run for 300. So is Herbert going to make up 500 yards passing and 5 rushing touchdowns with his passing? Debatable. Right. Debatable.
So, I mean, the other names I could even consider, and I reached on Tua and a couple of them, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. I mean, I think I'm taking Lamar all day
long. I'll take Lamar over those guys, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like 6'5", something like that. I mean,
right. But I don't know, given the injury history the last two seasons, that people are going to be willing to take him there. He fell farther in last year's draft than he probably deserved to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think in our draft, I think he went in like the 6th round.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I was going to take him, he was sitting there, and I'm like, I'll take Lamar with the next pick, and then he got taken 3 picks ahead of me. I'm like, well, I guess I'm out of that market. But
It does look like there's, you know, back to the earlier conversation, whatever order you like, Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, they seem like tier one.
Then I'd probably put Burrow behind that, and then probably Lamar.
Yeah, yeah. And Burrow versus Lamar is a conversation, too. Like, that, to me, it's not a slam dunk, but it's – I would take Burrow.
I just trust the injury history more.
Exactly, exactly. Fields is a big producer, and he actually has some weapons now.
I would still put him in right behind Lamar.
Behind those guys.
How about, because the rushing is going to be similar, but I trust Lamar as a passer more.
Yeah. I think Fields' rushing will actually be better.
I mean, Fields finishes with 11 or 1,200 rushing yards, and Lamar's 800 or 900.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're both going to be like top three runners.
I mean, you're talking about maybe 3 points a game on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
Herbert's a conversation for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, then you're talking like quarterback 7.
I mean, Fields in the second half of last season was a monster.
Was a monster, right. So we had this conversation before about the overrated quarterbacks, how I don't want to pay mid-second round value or mid-second round pick for those top three. But I don't think I want to drift too far away from Herbert Fields at 7 either.
No, I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
If I can get one of those guys in round 5 or 6, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Because like some of the lists I've seen, I mean, like quarterback 9, 10 is like Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson. You know, like big question mark guys.
Yeah. Russell Wilson, I'm sure, is
right. Aaron Rodgers, you know,
easing his way back into that conversation. Like, I don't want to deal with those guys.
I just pulled up a ranking as Geno Smith is their quarterback 12.
Yuck. Yuck.
Dak 13 and Geno 12. Like, I'll take Dak over him, but you know, I'd rather take Daniel Jones at 15 or somebody that runs.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't probably take a Daniel Jones.
No,
right, some of those other guys.
Get some pass catchers now.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, but I like Lamar's value. If you can get him 5th round.
Yeah, that seems about right. Hey, did you miss any of our show today? You can download full episodes of all of our SNR podcasts, shows such as The Drive, In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, The Steelers Blitz with Wes and Motes, The Steelers Standard with Tom and Jacob, as well as many more. They're all available on the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for our show today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, I am Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.